seen a video nasty. I wouldn't. I have far too much.
But how can you judge on a video nasty? Oh, you've never seen one.
I actually don't need to see visually what I know is in that film.
The one of the most notorious elements of the Video Nasty Scare in the early 80s was Go Video's Cannibal Holocaust cover. Picture of a flesh-eating cannibal tearing away skin. It's an image that typified the arguments for censorship and for prosecution of these videotapes. The concept was that Cannibal Holocaust was actually obscene, and obscene in a legal sense. And it was used repeatedly in the newspapers as shorthand for terrible films that would shock and deprave. No, it wasn't the only one, of course. We also had Driller Killer. But of course, such impressiveness led to and notoriety, obviously led to a lot of sales. So there was a mini cannibal boom as part of this video nasty scare. And indeed, as we've said before, we've kind of gone through a number of these films that were released at the time that almost certainly were considered to be shocking. And it got in trouble and got on the list, such as Cannibal Ferox. And D-Ran Video released, you know, The Man from Deep River and Diodato's Last Cannibal World, both of which are section of video nasties, in the sense of obviously Man from Deep River being a section 2 film and Diodato's Last Cannibal World being a section 3 films, which had been picked up but not prosecuted. And those two films were an influence on this one. And it's not surprising that, buoyed by the success of Cannibal Holocaust, Go Video released another cannibal film. This one, Savage Terror, released in 1980, but actually filmed in 1978 as Primitive. The film was an early piece for one of its stars, Barry Prima, who bizarrely is credited as from a misspelling as Barry Prima. Barry Prima being the martial arts star who kind of did very well out of the Indonesian 80s cinema boom, and was a film from Siswaro Gautama Putra, who probably is better known for a film he made a couple of years later, Sundar Bolong, which is a cult horror film. Taken on its own, though, Savage Terror seems a bizarre release to put out there. A weird mix of what appears to be stock footage animal cruelty and Ugga Bugga, Ugg 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 styly savages who are tormenting a group of students. Indeed, taken on its own, you'd wonder why it was released in the UK at all.
But they only agreed to take you to the Pangaea, and not any deeper into the jungle. Yeah.
I tried to teach their women how to weave fibers to make clothing, and I couldn't. They're not on the same wavelength as our civilization.
Couple of truly fantastic and fun elements to the film, though, as well as obviously the terrible spelling error for one of its stars. The claim at the start that this is a true adventure, when it clearly is not. Although it was filmed on location in the jungle, which in this case was the Indonesian rainforest. It's probably not surprising that the film kind of was picked up by police, although perhaps unusual that it wasn't prosecuted. Its cover featuring a picture of a woman who'd been tied up by a makeshift pole, apparently being obviously carried off, presumably for a snack for the tribe. Although the reality is almost certainly the film was it's quite amateurish, in truth, with terrible dubbing, as I said, misspelling of character names at the start, and a death of somebody being impaled by what clearly rubber spikes. Indeed, where Cannibal Holocaust was thought of almost to be like a snuff film, this film, Savage Terror, could never have been thought of being realistic in any real sense. It's interesting, I think. You know, the cannibal boom and the success of notoriety of Cannibal Holocaust, which obviously led to films like Cannibal Ferox being made and released, known Let Them Die Slowly in the US. Also, a number of films around that Italian cannibal boom, which hadn't been seen in the UK up to this point, were also released on video. I think a lot of filmmakers kind of think, This is going to be all right. We can make an entertaining movie here with limited resources. We have, you know, a beautiful, potentially dangerous, exotic destination for our set in the jungle. We have violence and potentially nudity if you want it. Although there's not real nudity in this one. We can jazz things up or make them a bit more shocking and extreme with adding animal cruelty to them as part of the creation of the film. But as we've said, many films kind of really struggle with filling the runtime, particularly in this genre. And the reason I think for that is that if you want your characters to kind of escape or not escape or have a confrontation at the end, but you also want them to be captured by probably the end of the first act, you need at least an act and a half's worth of stuff to fill the middle section of the film. In Cannibal Holocaust case, we back and forth between the New York and the found footage. In Cannibal Ferox's case, the stakes get raised considerably all the way through as more and more violence happens and our characters get deeper within the woods, within the forest, I should say. In the case of some other films, though, the film hits a point when they kind of our characters are captured and then, you know, caged or whatever, and there's no real concept of where to go next, and that's a problem that we face with this one. Instead, what we have is a huge portion of the film where our savages don't really do much with the people they've captured and go, ooh, 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 ah, 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 at each other. And the film kind of takes an almost documentary, anthropological look at these fictional characters' lives, looking at how they act and interact with each other to, in truth, pad out the runtime. See, the story of Savage Terror is of three young students who are interested in savage tribes. They go into the rainforest and the jungle to find out about them. They find one tribe who they find to be pretty boring, although quite successful in the discovery. And then from there, go on to find a second tribe. Or they would do, and do, but purely by accident, really. See, these students are a terribly intelligent group of people, but they're not very good at the concept of raft making. Building a raft, make which looks at best makeshift, going on the water, and then smashing into a rock and losing each other. As you say, they need something to kind of pad out the runtime. And so we see a scene where Tommy, who's played by Johan Margiano, eats what appears to be fruit, but obviously is poisonous and psychedelic. And we see it, and the camera goes a bit odd, and we see him vomiting. Does this have any impact later on in the film? Not really. And indeed, a lot of the stuff that happens in the sense of the film has no real consequences for our storytelling. You can criticise Man from Deep River as much as you want, but at least Deep River Savages has an element of a character who actually, you know, falls in love and becomes part of the tribe. There's a character progression there. Here our students are eventually captured and held until they escape, and Barry Prima, or Berry as he's bizarrely called in this, shows off some of his martial arts skills in the attempt to escape. The film also bizarrely features what appears to be some Kraftwerk as part of its soundtrack. I can only assume that Kraftwerk didn't see the film before agreeing to it being included. It doesn't quite match their cool, futuristic, modern techno sound. When you look on a river, on a crap raft, heading towards some rocks. So while the film itself is probably not one of the better ones on the list, it does at least have certain elements that are interesting. As I say, it struggles to keep the attention and doesn't really have the punchiness or the willingness that Lenzi has to go to extremes to kind of, you know, keep the audience attention and get the heart racing. It doesn't have the pure balls of somebody like, you know, Bruno Maitai, who would literally just take someone's top off. If it's like, oh God, this is getting a bit boring, isn't it? Quick, love, get your tits out. Instead, what it does is occasionally kind of zoom in on the lives of our savage tribe, which, again, is clearly bullshit, regardless of whether he says it's a true adventure or not, using the same locales. It also clearly is not, even if the story was true, which it's not, the concept of that being the tribe is obviously clearly bollocks as well, because if it was, the police would be round rather than, you know, the army would be coming down on them for freeing people rather than just letting them be. Particularly in Indonesia at that point. The film was released, as we said, by Go Video in, I think it's 82. And it hasn't had a UK release since, and probably would struggle to get one uncut anyway, as we've discussed. The animal cruelty would pay tear to that. Also, I doubt there's much call for this one to get a nice 4K release. It was briefly re-released in the US in 2005, released under the name Primitives, as a double header with a Ghost Ninja. The film was, you know, so, and that DVD is kind of available as various bootlegs at the moment still, if you rather rummage online. And the film as a VHS is still collectible. It's one of the more rarer releases, perhaps unsurprising because of its quality, and therefore is still quite desired. I'm aware that there's a VHS rip on YouTube at the moment. I don't like normally mentioning it, but you get, if you if for the completist out there, this is one of the hard releases to get hold of, probably. So, good luck. So, if you really want to see it, I'd probably head towards YouTube. As I say, I'm not expecting a re-release anytime soon, although I've said that before on Video Nasties, and you know, then a few months later, some, you know, it's been being put out, and I've you know, ummed and ahed whether to go back and edit this podcast to remove the reference. So, as I say, one of the films that probably in truth is more of a footnote than a highlight on the Nasties list. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. I hope you're doing all right. I hope you're well. Thanks very much to Matthew Bramall, who got hold of me on Twitter. He says, just start listening to the Video Nasties podcast. So feasibly, it could see me months before he gets to this episode. But hi, Matthew. Thanks for getting in touch. And it's, you know, great to hear about each individual film rather than just the big ones. I mean, if anything, yeah, thank you for that. And answer the question if I'm doing okay. Yes, I'm well. I'm feeling okay at the moment. Still healthy and mentally okay, and despite what's happening with us in our current climates. Yeah, I mean, always the plan for this was going to be, you know, if you take, you know, you could get a good couple of hours, I suppose, dealing with the scare generally, but there's not a huge amount of information, and you know, there are lots of podcasts that cover things like Evil Dead, etc. So I'm fine with that. But you know, at the same time, you want to find out about human experiments or this film, Savage Terror, for example. You're in a little bit more trouble. And while, you know, there's not a huge amount you can say about this film, you know, it features some good talent, you know, big star, you know, who would be a big star in the future with Barry Prima, and a filmmaker who goes on to make some interesting Indonesian films, and indeed, you know, is part of the Indonesian cinema boom of the 80s, late 70s, early 80s. You know, this, I don't think he would have classed this as, you know, one of his crowning achievements, a film that was heavily influenced by other films which themselves were, you know, rip off, you know, knockoffs of a knockoff were at this point, aren't we, really? But that said, you know, I think it is, you know, it's good to kind of, and to take them as a whole and kind of just take each individual film and say, you know, well, what is interesting about this film? Why did it capture the attention of the authorities first off, particularly from a Section 2 list sense? Those that were prosecuted, those that got people sent to prison. But also, you know, it's a good way to kind of take a chunk of films from a period and let's look at them individually. You know, were they shocking? Were they frightening? Were they violent? Were they offensive? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You know, and the reality is that something like Frozen Scream doesn't get a lot of love generally, but is still kind of desired because of its, you know, illicit status as a video nasty. So, thanks very much, and that was a long-winded way of saying thanks. If you want to get hold of me, please do. My email address is videonastiespodcast@gmail.com. You can get me on Twitter at @orange_monkey, or you go to the website videonastiespodcast.com or thelasthorrorpodcast.com, and you can leave a message on any of the articles there. Next week, we're dealing with the slasher film Rosemary's Killer. Not a story or an influence or reflection on Rosemary's Baby. So, until then, take care. I'll speak to you soon. Goodbye.
I have never
never seen a video nasty. I wouldn't. I have far too much.
How can you judge on a video nasty? Oh, you've never seen one.
I actually don't need to see visually what I know is in that film.